Welcome to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners, a podcast where we share resources, thoughts, and opinions on all things creative leadership. Thanks for joining this week's check-in, which kicks off with a quick huddle, then moves into the review, then the highlights, and ends with the high five.
Oh, so I forgot to tell you I was in a car accident last Friday.
What?
I did. I totally forgot to tell you. So I forgot about it until today when the insurance company called me. That's how exciting it was. It was actually a three-car fender bender.
What'd you do?
I was going like 10 miles an hour, slowing down for a red light, then bam, like out of nowhere. Two teenagers behind me. Their mom showed up later. It was a whole thing. I actually had a really bad headache. Sylvie was crying because she thought I had like a concussion or something. Like I got jerked forward. This kid slammed right into the car behind me, which then slammed into me. So the bumper I just had replaced last month, that's got to get fixed again. I mean, this is why I hate driving. It's so annoying. We're just driving along, listening to some Lady Gaga, which by the way, bone to pick with you. You told me this week that all new music is bad related to that.
Wait. You said something about all music is bad or something. And I said,
no, you did.
Maybe I misread what you typed. I was trying to agree with you, but anyway.
Well, I don't agree with me if that's what I said.
Jeez. I guess the guys behind you didn't like Lady Gaga either.
Yeah, I mean, that's their problem. Anyway, we should probably get into the huddle.
I'm glad you're feeling okay. Like, that's,
yeah, everybody's
that's
fine. The car is barely damaged. But I just thought that'd be a funny thing to share with you here.
And the things you will do for interesting content on the podcast.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. So let's get into the huddle. What's top of mind for you this week?
So I wrote something which we'll talk about later, but it was a window into a lot of like what's on everybody's mind right now, what's in their huddle, and it's just everybody's in such a bad place. I can't escape that. What about you?
Of course, that's top of mind for me. We're going to talk a little bit about that stuff. This, like, what I wrote about this week is really what's been top of mind. But other than that, like, I'm feeling like I'm kind of back ahead of the game and getting things done faster and just, I don't know, just feeling more productive. So that is always a win, you know?
Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you.
Well, let's get into the review. This week we published two Team Angle articles on communication with a focus on the always important documentation. And this was actually timely. I didn't tell you this yet, but I talked to a design leader earlier this week and was just trying to get a sense of, you know, what's going on with their team. And a highlight of that conversation was that they brought up that they had just gone through a round of improving their documentation, updating it. And I just thought that was such an interesting call out of like a big achievement for them that they had done that. So anyway, read the two articles. There's how documentation became a pillar for team transparency and the hidden costs of missed documentation. Huge hidden cost. But let's get into your opinion column this week, Forced Efficiency, the Myth of Cutting Your Way to Greatness. What do you got for us?
Well, I first kind of wrote about this on my own blog, but more on the angle of Elon Musk and Doge, like when they were making those cuts right away, it just felt like crazy. So I kind of continued down that path because I just feel like I've been fired up about it. Partly because like I'm still watching Elon Musk treat efficiency like a wrecking ball without any information. But also because I've lived this, right? Like I've been the guy in the startup days duct taping projects together after going through multiple rounds of layoffs and just having to roll with it. And finally being the one to say, can I be laid off next? Like literally did that, you know? I've also been the guy who's worked with like amazing teams and watched those teams fall apart because leadership is terrible, and leadership decides that the best way to move fast is to remove everyone who does the work. Just like really weird decisions, you know? So lately I've been talking to people who are stuck and feeling like, you know, they're on teams that have been gutted, and they're picking up the pieces and they're trying to bounce back off their, after layoffs. They're operating with less people, but double the pressure. And it kind of just hit me, like, what's being called, quote, efficiency in those moments? It's not strategy. Like, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of planning happening, right? It's panic, and it's panic with a rebrand.
Right? Yeah, it's like it's all reactionary.
Yeah, it's so reactionary. So that's what I'm kind of calling forced efficiency. I don't know if I invented that term. Maybe I should trademark it. I don't know. But I would say it's when leaders cut people, processes, and budgets without a real plan and then expect the work to just magically keep humming. So it's not leadership, really. It's wishful thinking. And it's wishful thinking with a side of burnout, because that's what happens to everyone who is left behind. So in the article, I kind of break down what forced efficiency looks like, why it backfires, and I think how smart leaders approach lean times with a little bit of structure and honesty and a real plan, not just reshuffling the org chart over and over, which seems to be happening to a number of my friends. Because I think the thing is, like, you can't cut your way to greatness, right? Real efficiency isn't about trimming the fat. It's about building muscle memory.
Yep.
It's about getting better and building systems to continually get better. So I kind of want to talk about that today. We have a bunch of kind of questions to just like guide us through. So let's just jump in.
Let's go.
Yeah. So, all right. My first question. So when a team gets hit with major changes, what's the first thing a leader should do to help them recover and just not just reorg?
Well, I'll tell you what you don't do, and that's go take everybody for a couple of beers, right?
Oh my gosh.
That's good, but you and I have been there, right, where something bad happened, and it was like, all right, well, let's cut off early for the day and go have some drinks. Fine, but then the next day, like, to, you know, to have the plan. I think, honestly, this is a really good time to just let people talk things out. And not to ignore the fact that there had to be some type of radical change, but to use that as a moment to make sure that your team feels seen and feels heard.
Yes.
And I don't mean as a one-on-one, yes, but as a team, and not just one and done. But I think it's like, you know, we just, our record just gets skipped. We're going to have to meet a couple of times, and each time is having some very purposeful conversation. The Team Mingle diagnostic was built for this, right? To go in and get some data to know, like, what are the conversations that, you know, that we should have. The conversation cards help guide some of that, but have some guided conversations, especially the you know, purposeful conversations, so you don't end up talking about the same stuff, because right away, people are going to be, to some degree, frightened. Like, am I next? Right? Yeah. Like, what's going to happen? Am I next? And so you have to get some of that out, and not talk about or try to return to normalcy. It's, you know, kind of, what do you, like, doing mental triage for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I think what you're saying is, like, be human. Right.
Yeah, yes, all human-centered.
People need space to process this stuff. They need you there. I think a lot of leaders want to rescind and disappear. I think being present, calling a team meeting, being human, even when things are tough, sharing what you can share, sharing what you know, sharing what you don't know, I think that's always the first step in making people feel comfortable. Like you said, people want to be seen and heard. They also want to feel stability. And the only way you can do that is through solid communication and presence, whatever that presence looks like.
Yeah, just to add that really quick, is you as the leader have got to guide that conversation. You and I have both been in those like super awkward situations where the leader feels like, hey, I'm just going to put the mic in the middle and everybody can just pick it up and say what they want. It's like, no, nobody wants that. No. That's awkward.
No. Like,
yeah. Ugh, gross.
So let's talk a little bit about this kind of like reactive change versus just being resilient, right? Like to me, I kind of feel like right, especially right now, the people who are doing well through change are the people who have almost prepared for this by setting up systems and just knowing like how to make their way through change with change management, right? Mm-hmm. But in your experience, what do you think separates reactive change from resilient change? Like, what do prepared leaders actually do differently?
Well, one, I feel like they're always preparing, right? So they're looking at whatever data they can to be able to forecast, you know, what might happen, to then know what should we be prepared for, mm-hmm. right? And I'm floored by how many leaders that seemingly didn't see it coming. You know, like it's very likely they didn't want to think about it because it's very stressful and drives a lot of anxiety. Leaders are people too, or human too, right? But to your point about you've got to prepare. And I think just like any other kind of emergency preparedness, there should be when things are good, that's when you should be preparing for what would happen if things went bad right now.
Absolutely.
Right. Very few people I've ever talked to have any kind of a break glass in case of emergency, you know, type of plan. And yeah. Which would help because then everybody knows, oh, we prepped for this. Like this was a possibility. Leadership has an idea of, you know, how to stand back up and keep moving along. How much confidence do you think that the team's going to have if you're like, we prep for this, right? And here's the next 90 days for what for the team.
Yeah. I did a presentation for one plan last week, and it was about really similar kind of topic about how portfolio teams get through this time of chaos, right? Like companies are starting projects left and right, deprioritizing projects. People don't know what to do with their teams inside of organizations because organizations are just experiencing so much change. And for me, the way that like when I dug into it, I read a report by Gartner that said only 21% of portfolio managers actually have done a good enough job, according to their CEO, in times of chaos. So for me, it's kind of like, well, what have you got wrong like as a portfolio manager or any kind of manager or leader? Honestly, to me, it comes back to what I said earlier. It's like building muscle memory into your teams. And the way that you do that is you have standards by which you communicate and you collaborate, right? You're doing regular retrospectives. You're talking about the work. You're getting ahead of things. You're being efficient because you're talking about process and what we can do better. You're having honest, transparent check-ins with teams and team members. You're clearly prioritizing that work together. So to me, when you've built that muscle memory or like that structure or framework, right, you essentially have built yourself this this way of working that when chaos does hit, or a change does come in, it's like, oh, we pull that thing in, we explore it, we understand it, we figure out what it means to us, we put a plan together, and we move the F on. This is how we pivot, right? So at the end of the day, what it comes down to is, it's you're either fear-driven, or you're strategically driven, or strategy-driven. Mm-hmm. And to me, it feels like there's a lot of fear-driven leadership going on.
Well, I think there's always a lot, but there's even more so now, absolutely. Right? Because just so much is on fire But yeah. I want to add, like, I would put one other bullet in your list, which is relationship management, right? And, yeah. I think about it's those important. Leaders that brag that they skip their one-on-ones, you know, that they don't. And it's like, well, yeah, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot, because that's one of the best ways to prepare for this is to have that solid relationship with everyone on the team, and for the it's team true. To have that connective tissue, so that, you know, even if the team changes some kind of configuration, there's still those existing strong relationships to rely upon, right? And if you don't have those, you're going to be starting from scratch when things yeah. happen.
And by relationships, you mean mutual trust and respect.
Yeah.
That's what it comes yep. down to. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Next question. How can leaders rebuild trust and morale after a shakeup, even if they had no control over that initial decision?
I think it goes back to, I mean, human-centered, facilitated, you know, show up and guide those conversations, and not just a one-on-done. Right. This needs to be a, you know, we've all gone through some form of trauma, and there absolutely has to be not just conversations, but some activities. Mm-hmm. You and I have talked about how this is a good time to reevaluate team principles, or, you know, aspects of the team that could just, you know, go through the exercise just to see where people are, right. But it has to be ongoing until there's some sense of whatever normal might look like, or just there's a sense of trust and energy back into the team.
Yeah, I think people need to feel considered. Hmm? They don't need to feel cared for. They need to feel considered, right? That
yeah.
the decisions that are being made, that they crossed your mind at some point, whether you were that decision maker or not. And I think that's the thing. I've been in the situation where you know, essentially there was a decision to lay someone off who was on my team, was not my decision, not the person I thought it should be. And I had to carry that through and messaging or carry that out, right? Like, I had to be the person to let that person go. And it was terrible. And all I could do was admit what I can't control and double down on what I could. And what that mm-hmm. meant was figuring out a path forward for the people who did remain, and building up trust. And building up trust doesn't mean standing in front of someone and giving a big speech. It's actually doing the things that you'll say you'll do. And the things yep. that I think you should do is advocate for them, right? Advocate, mm-hmm. you know, recognize that workloads are going to shift, but, you know, also double down on the fact that you're going to stick to your word. If workloads shift, are they still okay? Are people overloaded? You know, like, you need to actually be checking in on how people are doing.
Yeah.
And to me, it starts with just building that trust as like small, reliable acts that just show people that you're there and you're not going anywhere.
Yeah. It's a reminder of, in my career, just being there and asking people to, you know, not just how are they doing, but just, you know, do you have anything, you know, what's top of mind, mm-hmm. right? Where they can basically get it off their chest. There's a lot of people that, in my experience anyway, they don't expect or never expected me to fix it. They know that I'm just as helpless to some degree as they are about trying to change things that are so far out of our control. Mm-hmm. But I'm the guy that should be there going and saying, you know, get it off your chest to listen, you know, let's go rage punch in the, you know, dance in the forest together and, you know, or whatever, but let's just be honest about this and open.
Yeah.
And man, how many times where it's like, thank you. Right. I didn't expect to hear that, but it's like, thank you. I needed to say that. I appreciate it. I'm going to go back to work.
Yep.
Right. And that was it. You know, all it took was just the opening and the patience, the listening.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. One more quick question. I know we might mm-hmm. be running long. What's one small but meaningful action a leader could take this week to support a team that's been kind of through the ringer?
Sit down with them. like be with your team, and if you're remote, figure that out according to your culture. We used to do. Do you remember? We had two offices, and we had the giant TVs with the webcams.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? And
I do.
And we made it so like us in Austin were sitting on one side, you guys in Philadelphia on the other, and it almost felt like we were in the same room, right?
It did.
But it's I really feel like this is like skip the meetings, really prioritize the team and sit down with them, even if it's just to work together or, you know, working on things, but you're there.
Yeah.
You got to make time to do that. Make your presence felt.
Yeah. It's, you have to like create the moment that basically says, I know that this is difficult. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you. Right.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing as like sitting down in a one-on-one with someone and saying, you're doing such a great job. Thank you so much. Like doing it on the team level just inspires a little bit more. And I think you should do it on the one-on-one level. I would even go as far as to say, if you're in a one-on-one with someone and you're going through it, maybe even asking them, how are you doing? Is there anything that we can remove from your plate this week? You know, how are you handling all of this? Like just really caring for people, I think is really what I'm trying to say.
Yep. Yep. 100%.
Cool. Well, let's move on to the ask. We have something exciting this week.
So next week, we're asking people to join us online for the Huddle, which is our new event. It's on Wednesday, April 9th. At 12:30 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. The Huddle is a 30-minute session, conversation packed with insights. We're going to be doing audience participation and a high five for everybody to wrap it up. So go to sameteampartners.com/the-huddle or just go to sameteampartners.com. You'll see on the homepage a link to go register for free for this event and hope to see everybody there.
Sweet.
So let's get into the hit list. What are you consuming, reading, listening to?
So a couple of things. The first one this week is we've talked about this. Val Kilmer passed away, right? So I've got a good link. It's called Heat and Top Gun. Actor Val Kilmer dead. Michael Mann, Francis Ford Coppola, and many more pay tribute. So it's kind of just like a cool little online in memoriam for Val Kilmer.
Interesting. My first one is writing, and I wrote something that was new to me, a manifesto for everybody stuck in the system that keeps crashing you. It's called Eject Disk. Some of you may have seen it. It's trending a bit slightly on social platforms. And it has a lot of meaning for me. And I had a weight off my shoulders after writing and publishing that. So check it out.
Awesome. It's very well done. My next is reading How Well-Meaning Systems Stifle Business Growth. So similarly in line with some of the things that, that we've been talking about today, and just an interesting read on ink.
Nice. My next is album called Romance by Fountains DC. Fountains. The band totally new to me. I listened to, I think I caught their second track as like the title for a new Guy Ritchie series, which I don't know. The series was kind of boring, or at least started off boring, but the intro was cool. And so I Shazammed that and followed the link. And it's actually a nice album, kind of like a little bit of a 90s feel. So totally digging it.
Yeah, they have a couple of songs I like. They remind me of like 90s Britpop.
Yeah, you know these guys then.
Yes, I do. Yep.
Okay, nice.
Yay. All right, my last is listening. It's Forever is a Feeling, which is a new album by Lucy Dacus. It's very quiet, melodic, good stuff.
Like I say, I'm a little disappointed that Gaga is not there for like, you know, the second week.
I mean,
it should be there. Gaga's been on the hit list for 12 weeks in a row.
No, but I did not get tickets to the concert. She's not coming to Philadelphia, and apparently it's like sold out. So
you have to go to the parking lot. My last one is watching, and I have been rewatching season one of Severance in preparation for season two. And I'm glad I did, because I forgot a lot of stuff, details from the first time that I went through it. So I'm prepped for season two. And I know it's not going to be in the show notes, but White Lotus, the final episode's coming up.
Yes, ma'am.
That's going to be crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I have no idea how they're going to wrap that one up. But
yep.
Yeah. Cool. All right. What are we high-fiving this week?
You know, after this week, you and I both have you know, we kind of diverge and we go off and do a bit of our own thing and have our own conversations in our little spheres of the world and come back. And I believe you and I are both starting to see patterns of what people need to hear right now, what really resonates, but mostly just as humans, what they need to hear from somebody else. And so prior to recording, like right before we hit the record button, you and I talked about making a decision. We're going to put off a playbook that we have been working on that we're both really proud of. But I feel like the world needs to hear some things that we have to say. And so we're going to pivot, and we're going to go work on that right now.
High five pivoting.
High five.
Pivot.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly High Five. If you like what you're hearing, visit sameteampartners.com to schedule a free consultation with Beth and Greg. Also, follow or subscribe to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners. Share this episode with your network and submit a review. Thank you.